In this episode, we're going to break down how to use video for businesses that are trying to sell to other businesses.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey-o! Well, welcome to the latest episode. You know, this is a fun topic for me, and I know for our guest, Marcus Krieg, the big nerd, our director of strategy, is in the house.
What up?
See how I did that?
I know, you totally left me hanging there.
I curveballed.
Yeah, you didn't give me the what is up, so I had to adapt.
So if I say to Marcus, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm like, Marcus Krieg is with us, boom shakalaka. Marcus will go,
boom shakalaka.
Doesn't matter what it is, right? This time I threw him a curveball. And he was mildly prepared for it. So I like that. All right. One of the topics that we have a lot, clients or prospects, they come into our conference room, they meet with us. And upon first conversation, we're showing them some case studies. We may show them some B2C case studies. We may show them some B2B studies. But when people are new to video marketing, they come with their own baggage. And often they bring that baggage into our conference room, and then we have to help them unpack it. And then restructure things in a way that can help them use the power of video, unlike maybe they've been exposed to in the past. Agree? See or no?
See.
Good. Now, in most cases, when you're talking about B2C videos, business to consumer, you're really focusing or centering it, and I'm using in most cases in air quotes, around platforms like Facebook or YouTube. See or no?
See.
Good. And in a B2B setting, business to business, it's almost the opposite, where you're doing most of your video marketing engagement off of your own website. See or no?
See.
Good. And so with that in mind, I wanted to spend a few moments with you inside the studio to talk to people about where a B2B video strategy lives, because often there's no vision for people when we're talking to them, because they really haven't understood the concept that people don't read, that they come to a website looking to learn before they speak to a salesperson. So if we could take like four steps back, Marcus, what's going on? What is the revolution that's happening in the way that people are doing their own research and when they want to talk to a salesperson and when they don't?
So basically about 18% of people are still willing to speak to a salesperson.
Only 18%, basically.
Only 18% up until the point where they're ready to make a decision, right? So that means that the other 82% of people are cool talking to a salesperson eventually, but not early in the process, not until they're ready to buy, not until the transaction is ready to go. So what does that mean? It means that the traditional method of business-to-business communication has been fundamentally disrupted by the internet, by the way that people have learned to consume information online.
You mean the big disruptive machine, aka the internet, has also disrupted the way people want to buy?
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating about that disruption is that the way that people are behaving is like, well, B2C is, it's about, I only need a little bit of information to buy. That's an assumption that marketers have been making for a long time.
Because of television commercials.
Exactly. And we often have this bias that B2C is consumer, that B2C means that it's going to be an easier sale. That's not necessarily true. Similarly, many B2B sales are actually quite simple. Just the fact that you're selling to a business or you're selling to a consumer, it doesn't really change the fact that you're selling something that has an intrinsic value to the person you're selling it to, and the way that you can communicate that intrinsic value to them is how you're going to close the deal. It's human to human selling. People buy.
H2H.
People buy for predictable, consistent reasons. And it doesn't matter if you're a business or if you're operating as an individual consumer, what it really comes down to from a marketing or a sales perspective, again, two sides of the same coin, is how effective are you at taking the information and the beliefs that make your product a no-brainer, and how can you package that information so that your consumers, whether they're consumers or businesses, are going to actually consume that information and be compelled by it. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned earlier, these days people don't want to read. They're probably not going to give you 20 minutes of attention on Facebook. Not likely, sometimes, but not always.
Because Facebook, you've really interrupted what they're really already doing. But on your website, they're already in the mode of researching. And when I say yours, I'm talking about anybody who's listening that's selling something in a B2B style. Somebody comes and lands on your site. They're actually in the opposite process of what's happening on Facebook. They're in the hunting and gathering of information so they can make a smart purchase decision. Where Facebook, they're just maybe at work buying some time, sitting in a conference room, pretending nobody can see that they're going through their feed, or they're at the doctor's office, or at their getting their tires rotated. And it's a no-brain, non-research time, correct?
Sure. And I think that it's important to recognize that it's not to say that video doesn't have a place on social media and YouTube and B2B, because it can absolutely be extremely powerful there, but we need to understand the context of the user on those platforms. When they're on your platform, they're researching your product, your service, and you can deliver that information in a more straightforward and candid way. When you're delivering that kind of information on search and social media, for example, you need to be able to capture their attention based on what their priorities are in that moment, which is a completely different objective for you to be going after, right? So how can I capture you? How can I get you to bite on my hook so that I can reel you back into my website and continue the conversation? Because again, if it's going to take you 4 hours to close a deal in your market because it's a complex sale, and this is very common, sometimes we work with clients who there, it takes 9, 12, 18 months to close a deal. And in those situations, there's a lot of learning that needs to be taking place before those people are going to be comfortable buying. So how can we continue to bring them back into your ecosystem where you have control, where you can communicate information very clearly and simply, and you can path people without all of the shiny objects and distractions that are competing for their attention on social media? So think of those platforms as an opportunity to re-engage people based on where they're at in the process.
Those platforms you're saying is like a social network.
Right? Absolutely.
Like Facebook or YouTube or Instagram. That's where you're re-engaging and pulling them over so they can get back into that linear path to purchase, right?
Right. And I mean, even your email, right? If you're creating a blog post, all of these things are, you have to get their attention and they have to click. And then you can bridge them through some information. You can path them through your message and through beliefs and through stories that, again, make your product a no-brainer over time.
All right. So for those of you who are interested in this topic, we created a webinar. It's a video. It's the 35 minutes of me talking about these strategies of how you use video to accelerate your sales pipeline and my tricks that Marcus and I have been developing for almost 6 years together, right? We're getting close.
Five and a half.
All right. I'm very forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it feels like six to me. And
I only know because my birthday's in May, right? And you hired me on my birthday.
I hired him on his birthday. That's how I roll. Watch out. Watch out if your birthday's coming up. You never know if I'm going to jingle you. But you can get access to that webinar. It'd be super valuable to you. You can go to wirebuzz.com/speedo. And yes, it is like a blue Speedo. And in the first few moments, you will hear my most embarrassing story. And once you get past the embarrassment and I stop blushing, you will learn about how to use video for the secret weapon to accelerating your sales pipeline. Now, Marcus, in that video, that webinar video that we created, we do use the analogy, and I think this works really well in B2B videos, that we use the highway metaphor, that traffic comes onto your highway and it flows, you know, on your website and to you. And in that path, you need to engage them with information that's going to make them educated and informed so they can make a smart buying decision. Not every company has the same path, correct? Mm-hmm. See or no?
See.
And companies that have complex sales processes will have multiple videos on that highway, right? And occasionally people get off the highway and you have to re-engage them, like Marcus mentioned a few moments ago, by pulling them off of a retargeting pixel or moving them off of a social network and then pulling them back into your highway so you can convince and convert them. See or null?
See.
Good. Love it. Now, as you're advising, and by the way, you guys should know that Marcus, for one of these next clients that we're doing like a full-on strategy session, let's record it.
Sure.
Let's, with their permission, of course. Nobody would do anything illegal, see or no.
See.
Yeah, that's a little confusing. So we wouldn't do anything illegal, but I think it would be important for the audience with our prospects' permission to share with them how we go through a strategy session to be able to break down what their buyer's journey is like. Right? That'd be fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that we've already done that for some clients where we could certainly show some samples of what that kind of a journey would look like. I know that one of the biggest challenges that marketers have, you know, in all phases of marketing, whether you're a Fortune 100 or, you know, an indie entrepreneur, is how, what do I actually say?
Yeah.
Like, what do I, what are the words that I use in my video? What is the topic of those videos? How do I actually make sure that my content, that my sales message is aligned so that my prospect actually wants to click on it?
Yep.
Like, that's the magic. That's the trick. And we always hear the question, well, how do you make accounting payroll software interesting? Well, your customers have problems and desires today that that accounting payroll software helps them solve. It's not going viral. You will never go viral with that. If that's your market. But your people, if you can put your finger on their pain and what they're feeling today, and you don't speak in generalities and truisms like how to save money,
right?
Right. If you don't do that,
if
and you
really
have,
address pain,
right? And if you can tease at some novel mechanism of action, what is it that you do differently? That's how we create hope, because your business probably solves a problem or fulfills a desire that other businesses have made a similar promise about in the past. This is extremely common, especially in service-based businesses where we like to say, oh, well, we just do the best. We could provide the best service. We provide boutique, hands-on service. You can talk to our CEO. Every business says that now. And so because every business says that, that is not a credible value proposition to your prospects.
Because you tune it out.
Exactly. So we can't just operate at the surface level of trite marketing anymore. We have to get down to the first principles of what is it that we're doing that's different? Why is it better that we're doing it that way? What are the desires and the problems and the priorities that would indicate that someone might value that difference? And then engineer your sales and your marketing to serve that person, to capture that person's interest, to path them and tell their story in your marketing, and talk about how your product provides a transformation that they are desperately looking for. That is how we market in the future.
Isn't that what we're doing with our ROI mini course?
Absolutely. You have to, it's just packaging information that gets at what our framework is. How do we create successful content on a consistent, right, regular basis? Right? Businesses want to know that if they're going to work with us. But we're also talking to marketers, and marketers care about being able to do that themselves too. And so I can teach you really valuable, helpful information that doesn't just apply to video, but that is content agnostic, really, if we're being honest about what that mini course is. It's how to create profitable content. And we're able to use that packaging as an opportunity to not only get people to raise their hand and say, I want to join your selling system, but also to indoctrinate them into our way of doing things, our way of thinking about these problems and ideas. And if they make it through that 50 minutes of information, that I think 45 minutes of information, then they're going to be a very hot prospect for us, because at that point, they're going to believe a lot of what we believe about content and the future and how we can rise above the noise. And if they believe those things, then we're the only logical conclusion for them to work with, right? So that's how you design your business as part of a story that your customer tells themselves. Mm-hmm. And you package your content for what they're curious about, for what is going to get their attention. And then you just have to be really clever from there.
One of the things we're looking for in a strategy session is where their customers, what's the story that their target prospect is having play out in their head when their search or discovery starts, mm-hmm. right? Why is that important?
It comes down to resistance, right? So one of the things that, you know, we can all sort of acknowledge is that 80% of all Hollywood films are the same exact story, right? And they're all the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is the oldest story we've ever recorded. It was written on stone thousands of years ago. Same story repeated hundreds and thousands of times. And the reason that that story resonates so strongly with humans, all people, is because that's the story we tell ourselves about ourselves. We have a conflict, we have a struggle, a desire transformation. We encounter struggles along the path to achieving that transformation, and sometimes people will help us. These are the mentors. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, your Luke Skywalker.
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the story that we all tell ourselves about ourselves. And so if we can structure our brand story, that our brand message, so that you are the mentor character in your customer's Star Wars story, then you take on that role of trusted mentor. And once you step into that role of trusted mentor, you can teach them things. You can tell them stories that create beliefs. And as you continue to do that over time, not only are you going to build trust and rapport with your prospects, which we know people do business with people they have relationships with, but also you're going to be able to hold their attention as you're delivering value while bringing them through that journey. That's how we keep their attention, because they're, as they encounter a new conflict in that journey, you're showing them how to solve it, how to overcome it. And that constant creation and release of tension is what holds our attention.
Mm-hmm. It's the story that Marcus is detailing out is you have to be very sensitive and aware of the story that people are approaching your business, your product, or your service with, because that's often where your road on your website's videos need to be starting from, with that concept in mind, right?
Absolutely. And just to give a really obvious example of a type of tension and how you might release it is, and we talk about this all the time, when you create an objection in your marketing, such as revealing price, you need to address the objection, the logical objection that's going to appear in your customer's mind at that moment, the moment that it appears.
Don't put it off.
Don't put it off. Don't delay, right? So you've created tension, release that tension. Right? Because if you maintain negative tension, you'll lose people.
Yeah, they'll bounce.
Right. Now, positive tension can be used to great effect too. That would be something like a cliffhanger, would be a positive tension. I can't wait to find out what happens next.
That's an open loop.
Exactly. And so like our mini course includes open loops every day, telling people what's going to happen, what you're going to discover tomorrow. And because that thing is interesting and exciting, and it's the next logical step in the story, in the progression, they're looking forward to it. And that's why people are opening those emails over 50%.
You also, would you call that foreshadowing?
Foreshadowing would be another type.
At the end of a video, right? Like if you've got our ROI mini course where we teach our secrets for guaranteeing that your videos generate a return on investment, that's a 5-part video-based mini course. And at the end of each one, we've written it in a way where it kind of cliffhangers you and makes you need to go to the next one in order to release that tension, but it's positive tension.
Absolutely. It's just like Lost, right? You're watching the TV show Lost, and I know I love that example because it was one of the best. You just have to binge watch it, and that's the way TV is now.
Your customers, just like watching Lost, won't get lost because you'll keep pulling them into the next piece. And what we discovered with our 5-part web-based mini course is what's the number? Some ridiculous number, like 86% of
people, you know, we had a 10-minute video, almost 11 minutes. People watched 86% of it on average. We had,
good looking.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then there's a 8-minute video that was the very last one. That one had like over a 64% retention rate. So like after 5 days of videos, we're still holding people's attention, and You can't do something like that. Like if we just released all of those independently and it wasn't part of some package,
yeah,
we would be looking at maybe a 2% click rate.
Yeah.
We're actually getting over 30% click rates on these emails.
Right.
And that's the difference because of the way that we're packaging it and we're maintaining and building tension in a very deliberate, engineered way.
Very scientific way of structuring the release of data and the way you're hooking people into the next piece.
Right. And the stories are so consistent, right? There's a reason why Hollywood production studios crush it over and over and over again, and they have so many hits, is because the stories are kind of formulaic. Selling is kind of formulaic. But people buy for consistent reasons. And once you start to understand what those reasons are, and then you take those principles and you apply them to your customers and to your business, and you figure out how can I create alignment between those two entities, then that's when all of this starts to come together. But most businesses, we just like to play at the idea of the tactics. We don't want to take that big step back and say, okay, how can I spend, let's spend the next week developing a content strategy so that for the next 5 years of my business, I know precisely what to do every single week to move my business forward and exactly how to optimize my funnel when I identify gaps.
And the reason businesses don't do that is they're overwhelmed, they're confused, their marketing or sales leads might be outdated, their expertise might be limited to a different generation of marketing or PR or corporate community. We see that all the time.
Subject matter experts, right? A lot of marketers are actually just subject matter experts in their company, and they went into a marketing role. Doesn't mean that they have any real marketing background. They just operate in a marketing function.
Do you ever leave a Fortune 100 client, get into the car and say to yourself, I have a hard time believing that that's the marketing team? Right? Because they're almost not equipped to navigate in the digital age and slay deals and prospects, right?
Oh, yeah. It's actually probably more common with those types of businesses because a lot of them have been around for a while.
Oh, you mean people take a long time? Do they move up the ladder and the fresh blood that would have disrupted that ladder doesn't come in as frequent?
Well, there's that. There's absolutely that sort of institutional momentum aspect, but also there's the fact that a lot of these businesses are pre-internet. They predate the internet. And as a result, they have these outside sales teams that have developed systems and processes that worked and that were scalable, and then they optimized efficiencies through the organization. And so now they can afford to spend a lot to acquire a customer because everything else is really cheap for them. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a newer business, everything that they do is more expensive, comparatively speaking, but you are sort of more in control in that sort of that sense in terms of you're more agile and flexible in how you actually go about marketing. So a business that got started 10 years ago probably got started on the internet. A business that got started 20 years ago probably waited until 10 years ago to get on the internet. And so as a result, a lot of the marketers at some of these traditional organizations, especially the leadership, they don't have that digital first background. Now, when I think of an example of a company that's absolutely adopted digital first, I'm thinking of like Geico, right? Geico has a killer YouTube channel where they create viral digital style
video
ads.
You're saying B2C.
It's a B2C product. They're selling, but in any, it's actually because it's insurance. It's very similar in that sense to a B2B account in that you can have a more in-depth research process, right?
Yep.
Whereas, you know, it's not like going like and buying an
iPhone.
You would
do in a more of a B2B setting.
Right.
A more in-depth research and ultimately complex, so you've got a longer decision-making process.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, and that's assuming that people are making a value-based judgment. A lot of people don't. Make price-based decisions, right?
Sure.
But, you know, that's, you know, who wants to be that business that's scraping the bottom of the barrel either, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. A lot of these marketers, like, they're doing the right tactics. They know what kind of message they're supposed to have. They don't know what to actually say to grab people's attention. They don't know how to actually capture people where they're at and tell that kind of a story. And it's not as complicated as we think. You just have to take a step back and put yourself in the mind of the customer for a little bit. And that takes some time and some thought and some research. And once you get there, then the rest of it just starts to make sense. Mm-hmm. And especially if you can get like actual research where you're interviewing your customers, where you're identifying the words that they use to describe their pain, the words that they use to describe their desired transformation. You can do this in a very deliberate engineering style fashion. You don't have to be like a magician. You could be a narcissist with sociopathic tendencies and be able to practice empathy as a marketer, right? Like you could not have the empathy gene and still be able to do the research to get the right words to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you have to be willing to invest the time to be able to do things the right way the first time. Core principle number two, right? You know, choose profitable topics. And the second one, is create them the right way the first time. this is that critical step that ensures you're creating profitable topics in the first place.
Just when I thought you were running out of value, you added more value.
It's just boom.
Boom. All right. So
mic drop.
It's great. So if you want to get access to the ROI mini course, where we teach our secrets to guaranteeing that your videos generate an ROI, a return on investment for your company, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/ROI, and it's free to the listeners of this podcast. Enter in your email address, and we will send you the first of 5 parts. And then each day after, you'll get another video of me walking you through the steps to guaranteeing your videos generate an ROI. We walk you through and teach the framework. Now, in 2018, I'm excited to announce that Marcus and I are going to be doing workshops all over the country. You'll get more information on that, but I'll be giving you the big digital marketing picture and where the landscape is going. And then Marcus is going to be working with individuals and laying out their strategies and showing them in a very simplistic way that I'm going to explain right now what their road looks like and what their on-ramps are to tap into unmet groups of people and pull them through onto the highway. Marcus, sounds like a lot of fun, right?
Oh yeah, it's going to be a great time.
What percentage of people come into our conference room and say, hey, this is great. Marcus, Todd, you guys sound like smart guys, but we have a complex sales process. What percentage?
I would say most. Like, every business thinks that they're special. They think that the tried and true first principles of marketing that have worked for over 150 years don't work for them. But really what that comes down to is a lot of marketers like to think that they do everything the right way, and they have always done everything the right way, and the challenges that they experience are just outside their control.
Right.
Because then they get to go to sleep at night and not feel like failures.
Right.
And that's just the way, we all are ego protective in that way. They say that the greater the volume of your knowledge, the wider the perimeter of your ignorance. So as you become smarter, you become more aware of all of the areas for where you are ignorant.
Well, the reason I reacted that way and let out some like annoyed air out of my lungs is I literally have 55 tabs on my browser of all things that, as my boundaries of knowledge have expanded, are important things for me to learn so I could bring it back to the company or better advise our clients or bring it to this podcast. And sometimes I'm just good at clicking on the articles that I know are important to read and not good at reading them. And then I've got to do this thing where I'm like, damn it, you cannot start another week until you go through and read these things. And then I do the big purge, and a percentage of that ends up, like, maybe 5 to 10% of that ends up in the podcast. And yet I find myself struggling, and it's part of my job to make sure that I'm constantly learning new information, because, dude, you know, we've always been 3 years ahead of the industry, and I like being there. That's my comfort zone. But the uncomfortable part is always having to push myself to stay hungry, to always have the novice mind, to not allow myself for a second to feel like an expert, because the landscape is changing so rapidly.
Well, and I think that what you just said right there is the critical mindset that marketers need to adopt, which is a lifelong learning mindset. Yes, you can learn first principles. I think maybe 5% of marketers actually understand the first principles of how to engineer a successful selling campaign.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's B2B or B2C or whatever, how to effectively be persuasive. I think that there are very few marketers who have that skill set. And there is a lack of comfort around adopting a salesman's skill set.
Yeah.
Right? In that marketing space, there's discomfort around being salesy. They just want to educate people, and that's great. But if attention is expensive and all you want to do is educate and it has no tie-in whatsoever to your business,
Right. Then
that is traffic for traffic's sake, and traffic is expensive.
It's a loss.
That's a waste of money.
Right.
And so how can you think in terms of, okay, instead of just creating this thing for traffic, I'm going to create an on-ramp, which, yes, it's for traffic. It's to get people back onto my highway. But then they're on my highway, and they're, again, progressing towards a purchase destination. It's a different mindset of thinking linearly about how you approach your content strategy so that you're creating these little paths to purchase. Just like we've been talking since day one of the podcast, I think episode 3, we were talking linear path to purchase, right? That was the quote. And it's just as true today as it's always been. How can you create a path that progresses people towards a purchase destination as quickly as possible and with acknowledgement of the fact that not everyone's going to get all the way through the first time? How can you capture their attention and bring them back?
All right, can I hit you with a couple rapid-fire si or nos?
Sure.
No,
si.
Thank you. You almost lost it on the first one. Right there, you almost went down.
Yes, but you asked. You didn't ask si or no that time.
I didn't try. Right, yeah. You can do it. Okay. All right. Here we go. Si or no. If it takes you 4 hours to transfer the information from your head into a prospect's head, you're probably not going to be able to do it in a 30-second commercial. Si or no?
Si.
If you're creating a video and it's about your business and you have a more complex path to purchase, you need more than just one video. Si or no?
Si.
Okay. I might mix it up every once in a while, so you don't always have to give the same answer. Okay? When you're creating a video, your prospect is the hero of the story. Si or no?
Si.
See, I confused you there. I threw you a curveball. You thought it was going to be no, but it really became C, right? We're keeping you on your toes. Is it possible to use a testimonial video in your highway of videos that people need to go through? And if so, where?
That is such an interesting question. You can use a testimonial in any context in your buying journey.
The reason I ask is it trips us up.
Yeah,
often.
It comes up all the time. And I love that you asked that. A testimonial is more of, it's a style of video. It's a style of video that's characterized by having a customer tell their story to your other prospective customers. That's a testimonial. Now, there's a lot of different ways to use a testimonial, and then the message within that testimonial, the story that customer tells, can serve any number of purposes. Mm-hmm. You can use testimonials. You could create an explainer video that is a testimonial. Right? We just saw one over the weekend that was wonderful.
The
custom
suit, custom clothing guy. Yeah. We loved it.
Yeah,
right?
It was wonderful. I wanted to go get a custom shirt made.
I'll put on the show notes page.
Yeah, and that one wasn't strictly a testimonial. It was showing a hero character going through the transformation.
Yes.
But if that hero character were the one speaking, then it would have had just as much, if not more power as having the CEO speak on that one.
See or no. Your CEO is the hero of your videos.
That's a trick question.
I know.
Yeah. So yes, yes.
No,
if
no.
Your
no C
C if C C. So if your CEO can present well on camera, if your business at some level wins when you have that know, like, trust factor with your leadership, right? Not every business has that. If your CEO's passion, personality, and expertise can contribute in a positive, meaningful way to the sales process, then yes, right? Here at Wirebuzz, we feature you on most of our videos for a very specific reason. It's because you're the best looking.
Charming.
Clearly. So We feature you on camera because you are the star. You are the expert, right? And so we put you out there so that people can develop that relationship with you. It's a very deliberate thing. Richard Branson, right? Another example of an entrepreneur who built a strong personal brand and has been able to leverage that personal brand in multiple business contexts.
And with both examples, virtually the same net worth.
Clearly.
Yes.
So I would say, yes, you can feature your CEO as the star, but then
what
we
about
also
as the hero.
I would say that there is only exactly one situation in which your business is allowed to position your business as the hero, and that is when your CEO or your evangelist is telling the story of how your company discovered the radical transformation, the secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that story, your customer is relating with you. Mm-hmm. You're delivering more or less a testimonial of how you discovered something, how you acquired a belief or a set of knowledge that underpins your business technology or the way that you provide service or value, right? So When you have that secret sauce, that origin story moment, then I do think that it helps to get your founders on camera and to have your founders be that hero. Because in that context, your founder didn't have all the answers yet, right? In any other context, you are the trusted mentor. You do have the answers. You do know how to help.
In other context, your business is basically the Yoda and your client is the Luke Skywalker.
Right. But in this one story, the origin story of your business,
Okay, gotcha.
You are Luke Skywalker because you want your customers to resonate with Luke Skywalker. You want them to think, to put themselves in your shoes and to experience the transformation and the epiphany that you experienced alongside you. So that is, I would say that is the one exception to the rule of always making your customers the hero. But generally speaking, I would say yes. But there's me getting down into the nuance.
No, the only reason I ask is I know you're a big enough nerd to like the topic and it confuses people. People come into our office, we're explaining it often, trying to make sure they get it right.
Oh, let's full circle that testimonial thing, okay. Right? Because a testimonial can be an explainer video at the very top of your sales funnel, right? Or a testimonial could simply address objections, right? Maybe you have a, you know, if you're a B2B, you might have some really sophisticated implementation challenges, right? Like imagine that you are, let's say, a CRM software or a software for a company, an enterprise software solution. It's going to be hard to get that implemented in most cases. Or at least your customers will assume that it's hard. And so one thing that comes up in a lot of those contexts is, oh, well, we need to talk about implementation. Well, are you going to put a video on your website that's like, well, implementation with us is really easy, right? Is that how you're going to address that objection head on? No, because that's a defensive answer. Whenever you have to defensively respond to an objection, you lose credibility. So how can you address it in a proactive way so that you don't appear to be on your heels? This is an important rhetorical device that we learned in debate. And so
by the way, when Marcus, may I?
Yeah.
Can I embarrass you for a second?
Sure.
When Marcus mentioned when we learned that in debate, Marcus went to the University of Oregon.
Go Ducks.
I knew it was coming. And Marcus won a national championship in debating, so don't fuck with Marcus. And
you poor man.
But there's a way that you're supposed to structure things if you want to win. And often when we're doing it for our clients, we're addressing their competitors' products before we display our client's product because we want to knock down those objections so we can set up the winner.
Right. It's hard to be responsive. It's hard to get people to re-engage you in a responsive way. It's hard to get people to watch a boring video, right? So we like to address those types of issues in another context, such as in a testimonial, where the format, the structure of that content has independent value, right? A testimonial you would have watched anyway simply because it's a story. And you want to hear sort of how it worked. You want to get some of that behind-the-scenes secret sauce type action. And so the testimonial pumps up the value of the objection handle, one, but then two, because that objection handle is coming from a customer, it's now substantially more credible. And then in addition to that, there's that offensive versus defensive, are you being reactive or proactive with your argumentation? You always want to be proactive. This is one of those critical ideas here. We talked about pricing before. We've talked about addressing your haters and your objections head on. These are critical concepts because we like to think that we can bury our heads in the sand and our customers won't find out about our dirty baggage. But they will.
Today more than ever.
More than ever. And if you think that they won't discover your competitors, you're wrong. If you think that they won't discover that your pricing is bigger than your competitors, you're wrong. They will know those things and you will be found out. So instead of being reactive or trying to hide things that might be a little bit less than wonderful or that might be a little tricky to communicate, right? If you're not the lowest cost in your market, you suddenly have a challenge where you're going to have to communicate your value, right? But that doesn't mean you should withhold pricing because people are going to find you out. So address it, be proactive, talk about your value in order to anchor your price as being better than the alternative.
All right, let me challenge you with a C or no. Do we address pricing on our website? See or no?
See.
And do we drink our own Kool-Aid? See or no?
See.
It could be a no for now because we drink our own Kool-Aid, but on that pricing page, there isn't a video when we're recording this episode, but This could also be a C because we've already recorded that video. And as I speak through the glass, 25 feet away, it might be more like 40, editors are cranking away on yours truly explaining in a video the pricing page, right? Because mm-hmm. we know people don't read.
Right. And I think that the other thing that's important to keep in mind there is we were never real bashful about our pricing in the first place, right? We don't pretend to be the lowest cost provider in the market. If you
want
to go,
right,
you hire the kid with the bar mitzvah camera. I mean, you can do that. So we don't play in that playground. And so we don't have to hide our price because we're not going after price shoppers, right? We want people who are looking for quality, who are looking for ROI, who are looking for the level of strategy and professionalism that we bring to bear. People who are looking for that are not looking for $1,000 a video. They're looking for something where they're going to get something professional. They know that it's going to be the right way done the right way the first time, and it's going to stand the test of time.
It's going to have a really compelling strategy. The argument that's going to be made is going to be very compelling. If there's multiple pieces of content in a B2B thought process or selling system, it's going to be strategic to the point where you've got open loops that cliffhanger you at the end of one video. So you absolutely positively have to tune in to get video two because you don't want to be left hanging without that crucial piece of evidence or information, which then pulls you into the second and the third. And before you realize it, you've consumed all of the videos. Very bingeable. There's a lot marketers should be learning from bingeable content. There's a reason why, you know, videos, you know, like shows like Seinfeld, you don't even have to really watch them in context because back then nobody really cared about that. The competition level was different. It was Jerry Seinfeld against three networks. And today, if you want somebody to go through your thought process of your B2B content, you really need to compete and you need to know how to grab and hold their attention and pull them through each one of those pieces so they can then make a no-brainer, smart decision to hire your company and to move on, you know, and start doing business with you. And that does not take kid with camera. That takes somebody who understands thought sequencing, strategy, scripting, digital marketing, very compelling video creation, and then execution and deployment and all those things like the interaction of the CRM back to the salespeople and how they use those tools. And really, once you tie up all those laces in a B2B context and you've got the right videos, your salesperson can identify or your software can identify where your prospect got off your selling system, got off your highway and detoured. And then you can use the right marketing tools or tactics to get back in front of that person, pull them back onto your highway and bring them back through your thought process so you can get them to the end. They can make a buying decision. And before you know it, your selling system start selling on your behalf. And that's where companies grow at freakish rates.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. And I just want to leave people with like one really big, just sort of aha, like mindset shift. Okay. So think about it like this. Okay. We created a mini course. It was about 45 minutes worth of video.
This is the ROI mini course. Wirebuzz.com/ROI.
And in this mini course, we basically made five videos, okay? Five videos that are somewhere between 7 and 11 minutes long. We could have just made five videos that are between 7 and 11 minutes long covering those topics. And we could have decided, hey, you know, we can only do one a week, so let's just do one of those each week, and we'll just keep chipping away at it, and eventually we're going to have this big chunk of content. That's how most businesses think about this, okay? Is I'll just chip away at it. I'll create one piece this week and then another piece. No. There's something wrong with that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you take just a little bit of time in advance of creating all of those pieces of content to think about how you can tie them together first, at the beginning, before you start recording things, figure out how you're going to connect the dots together and then start producing them. Start with the end in mind, because if we had just simply created those five videos and we had not connected them together, we had not engineered it into a sequence, our results would have been literally 1/10 of what we'd experienced.
And then we would have muddled to ourselves or to colleagues in the hallway, yeah, this video marketing stuff just doesn't work.
Right, because we would have been looking at, okay, maybe we would have only gotten a few percentage points increase on our email instead of like 500% increases.
Some of those videos are 11 minutes long, yeah. Right? Violation of conventional wisdom. But they work and they convert, and it's a great tool. I like this. I actually think, you know, in a past episode on this podcast, I don't know what the episode number is, but it's me and Marcus Sheridan. And in the episode, Marcus mentions to me, I actually hit him with a question about a rumor that I heard, and he confirms it, that he won't take meetings with people. He will not take on a new client unless they've read his book, Marcus Krieg, On Behalf of All Marcuses, See or No.
See.
That's true. Okay. That's how he feels. Now, couldn't we be creating a setting up the first meeting video where when we've got a sequence, maybe of two videos or three videos. So when they walk in the door, they're like, these are the guys. They're ready to bow down. Like, we've seen people that have walked in here that have gone through our ROI mini course or have listened to our podcast. The dynamics are totally different.
It's a very different experience when we have someone who's engaged with our deep content in a meaningful way, right? We have a lot of people who've maybe clicked on a blog post or they've opened some of our emails and read them. And those people, is, you know, there's maybe a little value, maybe a little bit relationship equity that's benefiting us in those contexts. But it's not anywhere close to what we experience when we're dealing with someone who's attended one of your webinars, right, or who's seen one of us speak,
right,
or who has gone through the mini course and actually watched all of the videos, right? Like, those are completely different conversations because we don't have to start at the beginning. We don't have to sort of explain how the industry has changed over the last 3 years and, you know, why aren't other marketers talking about it? Because they don't know. They aren't watching, right? And so, you know, when we're looking at those types of situations, there's a lot of ego at play. And the people who haven't gone through the education, they think they have it all figured out and they're just two steps away from the finish line. They don't realize that they just took the first step.
Yeah.
Right? It's just there's this mindset problem where a lot of marketers, they think they're already fully baked. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of waddling in this unconscious incompetence. They don't realize that they don't know what they don't know.
In the interest of full disclosure, way, way back in the day when I got started, by the way, I am now celebrating my 20th year in digital marketing, which officially means I'm old. By the way, did you hear that when I did breathe in? My lungs like wheezed. It was really pathetic. Embarrassing. It was like, yeah, you are old. Look, when I got started with Phoenix News or Deal With It, or when I got started with even Breast Cancer Answers, the strategy that we created back then was in a landscape that wasn't as competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Now you even have to be tighter on those strategies or the house of cards collapses. And I giggled earlier when you were talking about mapping it all out and taking that pre-planning, because you are preaching the gospel of what we do here at Wirebuzz. We see it each and every day that when people don't lay out a strategy and they don't start with the end goal in mind, they never reach that end goal. And they approach us frustrated.
Right.
Understandable. Well, look, there's a lot of information that we could be sharing with people. I know we're going to be doing with workshops. I know we're doing with the ROI mini course and also my webinar that's on demand. It's at wirebuzz.com/speedo. How can you possibly forget that? And you'll never think of me the same way. All that information is at your disposal. Creating really great videos is kind of the easy part. I hate to say it, but you have to understand how to move people, large numbers of people, very efficiently from hello at the beginning to closing and converting at the end. That takes digital science and strategists like Marcus Krieg. Marcus, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Fun episode.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to rate your job that you did in this episode between see and no, which way would it be? It doesn't make any sense. C is the right answer. All right. Marcus, thanks so much for joining me on the episode, buddy.
Thanks again.
Well, he's Marcus Krieg. He's our director of strategy. Marcus and I have so many things that are in the oven right now that we're going to be rolling out that many of you are going to get to use, benefit from, and we look forward to bringing this depth of knowledge and real practical applications out across the country and share it with you and your businesses. And in the meantime, if we can ever be of help, just let us know. Again, this the show notes for this episode, wirebuzz.com/135. This is episode 135, hard to believe. And let's see, I told you about the ROI mini course at wirebuzz.com/ROI. And if this podcast was valuable, you know, we like to think abundantly, right? We know we're giving away information that's valuable. If it's valuable to you, pay it forward, think abundantly, make sure you share it with a friend or a colleague or really anybody that you're rooting for. And go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, where each of our episodes live. Hit the subscribe button, leave us a very honest rating and review, and we would be very grateful for that. So on behalf of the team here at Wirebuzz, I wish you a very productive day and a new episode of news that's coming up after this. And the whole goal is to turn you into a video marketing master.